My text this morning is in Philippians chapter 3. We continue in Philippians chapter 3, and that's on page 1180 in the Chapel Bibles, and it's in verse 9 of chapter 3. So 1180 in the Chapel Bibles, Philippians chapter 3, and verse 9. I'm breaking into a sentence. We left it last Thursday morning in verse 8, that I may gain Christ. And now verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. You will have all heard of Martin Luther, I'm sure. Luther made this statement. He said, the doctrine in this verse, the teaching here, is the standing article of a church. What he meant was, you can judge a church by what it makes of the doctrine in this verse. What he is saying is this. In his view, if you go wrong on this verse, you go wrong everywhere. You can be right on many things, but if you miss what's in this verse — he wasn't thinking of this verse, he was thinking of the doctrine in this verse — then all is wrong. I go further. It's not only in the great doctrine of the church, you know, and what's right and wrong. For every individual soul, for mine, for me, if I haven't got what Paul says here, whatever else I've got, I've really got nothing. How did Luther come to this high view? Let me use an illustration. You've all seen these medieval castles. There's the earthworks outside, and then there's the moat, and then there's the steep walls and all the rest of it. What's it for? It's to keep the enemy out. He has to climb the earthworks. That's difficult enough. Then he's got to get across the moat. Then he's got to climb up these steep walls. But once he gets over the walls, he's only in the outer courtyard. There is somewhere in the center of the castle the keep, the citadel. The enemy can break through the ramparts. The enemy can climb the walls. But unless he takes the citadel, the castle is still intact. He must get to the citadel. Sieges in castles could take months because people could stay within the keep. Now, there are many outer walls in the Christian religion. But this morning, we're looking at the citadel. This is the very heart of the Christian religion. I should preach the best sermon I ever preach in my life on such a text. It won't be that. I don't know what the best sermon is anyway. But it's the best subject, I'll tell you. And if I don't convey that to you and make you feel I want to know what this man is talking about, then I've failed. How did Luther come to that position? You remember that he was a German lad, and he became a monk. I think his father wanted him to be a lawyer, but he became a monk. One of the reasons was he was struggling to get himself right with God. He knew within himself that he was not right with God. And you know it, my friend, for yourself. The Bible tells me, plain as plain, God has put within us all, Romans 2 I'm thinking of it, he's put within us such a work, conscience, and he makes us know within ourselves that we accuse ourselves. I said that, I did that, I was wrong. You blushed in private and so have I. When nobody's around but somebody's come back, oh, I said that, I did that. And this sense of not being right with God is endemic with us all. It is. Well, I don't believe that. Oh, yes, it is, my friend. Why do people take their babies and sprinkle water on them? Why? Is it to wash them? No. Why do they take them to the priest to put water on them? Tell me. I know why it is. Their book tells me. Now is this child regenerate. Now is this child right with God. That's why they do it. They really believe that when the man has sprinkled the child, that child before was not right with God, now is right with God. But they do. I'm not making it up. I've told you before when my second child was born, yes. The midwife said, if anything goes wrong, we had it born in the house, you see. If anything goes wrong, she was a Catholic, she said, we'll get the father in. Why? Well, she wouldn't get the father in for us. No. Why? Because to get the child right with God, you see. I could give you many examples of it, but that's just one. Luther's struggling. He became a priest. And he had to elevate the host, that is, the pretended changing of the wafer into the body of Christ. And he was appalled as he was doing it, knowing he was not right with God. He flagellated himself, whipped himself. He wore hair shirts and stuff to make himself feel audible, to get right with God, anything and everything. He went to his superiors and talked to them. How can I be right with God? They looked at him blank because they weren't right with God either. He went to Rome to try and get right with God. And he climbed on his knees up the so-called stairway to Pilate's place. They got a stairway, they stones. And you climb the stairs on your knees. And every time, every step, you pray on your knees. And he was praying there. Mumbo jumbo, praying, trying to get right with God. But he had become an Augustinian monk. And in the library, he had read the books of Augustine. And he had come across a text from the book of Habakkuk. And as he was on the steps in Rome, the text in Habakkuk from the Bible came to him. The just shall live by faith. And he realized that all his works could never make him right with God. And the answer was in the very book that he had. And he was supposed to be a preacher and a teacher. And the book was telling him, it is by faith. He went back to that book. And he found that the Bible tells him, Paul was telling him over and over again, if a man trusts Christ, he will be right with God. And he did trust Christ. And he said to Christ, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he found that he was right with God, and he had peace with God. And he said that doctrine, that we can be right with God, our sins can be washed away, we can be right, righteous before God through Jesus Christ by faith, is the standing doctrine, article of the Christian religion. And so it is, my friend. For those of you who are aware of these things, I don't suppose any two of us in the room would agree on absolutely every point of our religion. I don't suppose that any two of us would agree on every point. But if we agree on this, my friend, if we can take one another's hand and say, yes, Jesus Christ by faith is our righteousness with God, then all the other differences, well, they're important in their way, but they are the outer fringes of the gospel. So long as the citadel is right. So long as Christ is my justifier. Then all is well. We are one. Now, where am I making all this up? Where am I getting all this? Where did Luther find it? My friend, is it a fancy of the mind? Is it a dream? Or is there some solid ground? Does the Bible say it? Well, I read Romans 3 and 4 and 5. But how about this text? Here is Paul writing to the Philippians, dealing with these Jewish teachers, as I've explained. And they piled up their arguments for being right with God. And their arguments are these. You have to be right with God. You have to do this and that and the other. Where do they get that? From the law. What do you mean by the law? Let's be clear about this. What do you mean? God, when he came down on Mount Sinai, gave his law. The Hebrew word is Torah. He gave his law. That's the English word. He gave his law to Moses. And Moses gave it to the Israelites. And God said, if you keep this law, absolutely, the man who keeps this law, he shall live. If you want to be right with me, keep this law. And the Israelites on the plain of Sinai, before Moses had given them the law, this is what they said. Whatever the Lord says to you, they said, we will do. I dare say they were sincere, but they were sincere fools. Why? Because the law says if you offend in one point, you are guilty of all. And cursed is every man that continueth not in all the law. There is a way of salvation there, my friend. There is a way of justification. There is a way of being right with God. And many men think that the law will save them. And they go to the Torah. And they go to the law. I say to them sincerely, you are fools. Why? Well, let me give you some of these commandments. Remember, if you fail in one point, in the least failure, you ruin the lot. And the curses of the law come down. Now let's hear some of these laws. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy will. Is there one here who will stand up and say, I'll take that on. I'll take that on. I will. I can do it. Is there somebody here who can say it? Well, I'll sit down, my friend, because I can't do it. God, forgive me that I don't love you with all my heart. I want to, but I don't. I know I don't. Sometimes I'm cold. I've taken sometimes another commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And these Jewish teachers had come to Philippi. And they said, don't you believe all this talk that this man's saying about Jesus? Well, that's all very well, but it's got to be the Torah as well. Okay, says Paul, well, if you want it, here it is. And this is what Paul says. As for me, he says, I turn my back upon that way because I cannot keep it. I cannot do it. And this is his doctrine. Let me read it to you. I want, he says, to gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. What is he saying there? There are two ways of being right with God. One, Notice it. It's my way. Mine. My own. He comes over and over here. There is the my way. And there is the God's way. God's righteousness. That comes from God. He says, here's the ways. Here are the two ways of being right with God. These Jewish teachers have come to you and they told you, you must do this. My answer to them is, Christ has done that. Now, you've got the difference, my friend. You must do this. You. Me. My. Christ. There's a world of difference there, isn't there? They also say, you must do these things. The one they picked on particularly was circumcision. Now, as a matter of fact, circumcision was not found in the Torah, but nevertheless, they picked on circumcision. Okay, says Paul, there you are, that's something you can do. It's a rite and a ceremony you can go through. I turn my back upon that, he said. No. I have been circumcised as a Jew, but that's rubbish to me. Look at the previous verse, rubbish to me. I don't want anything more to do with that. That's no consequence anymore. No, he says. It's faith. It's not my works. It's faith. I trust Christ. Can you see Luther now on his knees in Rome? Here he is working. He's working himself to the bone, my friend. He's killing himself. Literally. Trying to get right with God. And it dawns like a light in his mind. If I trust the Christ, I am right with God. And he forsakes the way of his works. And he trusts the way of Christ. One is deserving. I read that in Romans. I tell you this, my friend, if ever I meet a man that has kept the whole law, well, I'll shake his hand because he deserves it. I tell you, he's a remarkable man. Well, I shall meet one man who's kept it. But I shan't be shaking hands with him very soon. In this world, I shan't be shaking hands with him at all. Why not? Because I shall never meet a man in this life who's kept the law. Try it. I won't. The thought would drive me insane. That if I got one thought, one word, one attitude that was offensive to God, the whole thing comes down like a pack of cards around me. I should never sleep at night. I say to you, a man who's going to be saved by the works of the law, he jolly well deserves to be saved. But Paul says, I don't trust in my deserts and my earnings and my works. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. Now let me show you something very important from this. There is a terrible misconception about this doctrine amongst evangelicals, and it's this. That God comes to the people and he says, now try my law. And they say, well, we'll try it. And then we all say, well, we can't do it. So God's comes again and he says, well, I'll give you something easier. See? There are people who teach that. That's rubbish. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and he was born of the Virgin Mary, was he not? The virgin part is important because he had to be sinless. We won't go into that now, but that's an important point. But the Mary part is also very important because he had to be a man, a human being. But more than that, he had to be a Jew. Why? Because he had to come under the Torah. He had to come under the law. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only man who has said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I always please my Father. He always pleased with me. Here is my son in whom I am delighted. Why? Because he was keeping the Torah in all points. He was keeping the law perfectly. And he actually earned salvation, not for himself, but he died for sinners. And for all who for whom he died, as he died, you sang it in the hymn, it is finished. What's finished? All the law, you said. All the ceremonial law, the hymn writer. All the law finished. Why? Because he's completed it and fulfilled it. And when I trust the Savior, God isn't saying, ah, that's an easier way. I trust the man who's gone under that law, met the curse, died under it, and kept it. And that's why Paul says to the Romans that he might be just and the justifier. Why? Because he has honored his law, he has pleased his Father, he has merited salvation, but it comes all as a free gift to me. Now let me say that again. It's all works for the Savior, and it's all grace for me. It's all deservings for the Savior, and it comes to the most undeserving of sinners. Now, I tell you, my friend, this is the standing article of the church. This is the true gospel. This is the real heart of the gospel. How can I be right with God? Is it by my works, my observances, my duties, or is it by the trusting of the merits and the works and the labors and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of you say, well, it means nothing to me, all this. My friend, it does mean everything to you, I tell you. It means everything to you. You may not realize it. You may not want to realize it. If only I could find words to tell you how important this is to you. Important, it's absolutely vital. Now come on, let's be honest with each other. I know they're kidding each other on the telly at the moment, but let's be honest in this room. It can't be long, can it, before each of us will have to stand before God? Now, come on. I say this out of love to you, my friend. I have to face this God very soon. We do not know what a day may bring forth. I want to be right with him. Don't you want to be right with him? Is there somebody who says, well, no, I couldn't care less whether I'm right with God? Then I've got nothing for you, my friend. I just am amazed at you. Of course, you won't get a vicar in then, will you, when you die, to read over the prayer book and tell you about going into heaven? Because you don't believe any of that rubbish, do you? You'll be honest and consistent. Well, no, I think I'd like the vicar. Well, yeah, I'm sure you would, because you want to be right with God. So do I. I wish somebody could tell me. Well, somebody has told me. Jesus Christ has come and told me. He's done more than tell me. He's actually worked a salvation for me. Is it true then that by resting, trusting Christ and saying to Christ, Lord, your merits, give me your merits. Saying to God, I don't want what I've done, Lord. It's what Christ has done. Is it so simple as that? Yes. And you've got to know a lot of theology? No. Of course you haven't. I'll tell you this, there's no theologian in the world who understands what I've said to you, can comprehend it in its fullness. It'll take eternity for us to find out what really is involved in this glorious Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our knowledge. We're not right with God by our knowledge. We are right with God by trusting the merits, the law keeping, the suffering, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for sin. You can ask me questions over lunch about this that I cannot answer. I'm not saved because I understand the answers. I'm not right with God because I know the solutions. I can answer every question. I'm right with God because of the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you really do have questions, ask Him. But more than ask Him your questions, give Him your heart, my friend. Give Him your soul. Give Him your eternity. Say, I don't fully understand what this man's talking about. But I see it's in that text. I've read Romans 3 with him this morning and 4 and 5, and I see it again there. I believe I see it there. I've sung it in my hymns. I see it there. I want it. I want it. I want it. And I want it now. Somebody may say, well, I don't do any of this. I don't go into this law business. My friend, if you've got 10 minutes this afternoon, we'll go around the village. And I guarantee this. I guarantee this. The first door we knock at. Put me to the test if you want to. Let's go to the first door and knock. Let us get into conversation with that man or lady who comes to the door. And let us ask them, are you right with God? The question I've been speaking about. And if we get any answer at all, it won't be long before they'll be telling us how they know they're right with God. And this is how the sentence will go. What I do, you got it. You've got it. I do my best. I'm sincere. I never do anybody any harm. I'm kind to animals. I'm this, I'm this. I do. Well, that's works, my friend. That's works. You may say, well, I don't bother with this circumcision. No. I don't bother with baptizing babies. No, I don't. But I do my best. Okay. Call it what you will, my friend. That's one way. I hope you've got good grounds for it. But as I read my Bible, I see that God's law could not save me. The perfections of God's law. How I think the perfections or the imperfections of my doings could possibly save me, I have no idea. If the law of Moses that God was giving to Israel could not save the Jews, however I think my ways could save myself, I just do not know. I want perfection because God demands perfection. I know where perfection is. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you believe Him, my friend? Do you believe Him? Do you trust Him? I don't mean do you accept the facts. I mean do you cast yourself upon Him? Why not, my friend? I would plead with you. If you've never done so, do so. And if you do, you'll have peace with God. But the Bible makes it very plain. If you have to stand there before God and say, well, I did this and I did the other. Fearful. A fearful eternity is awaiting you, my friend. I do not pretend. It is the truth. I've got my answer now, my friend. I shall point to the Lord Jesus Christ and I say, I trusted that man. It was because that man said it's finished. I believed him. I trusted him. It's because you said in your word, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I am a sinner, Lord. I trusted him as a sinner. I believe your word. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Is it true for you, my friend? I hope it is. I hope it is. It said of George Whitefield that he could never preach without weeping over his congregation. I wish I could weep over you. Have you all received this? Do you know it? Can you go on your way saying this morning, I have gained Christ. I am found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from any works of mine, but I have a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes by God and is by faith. Then all is well, my friend. All is well. And if you have it not, then all is wrong. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
What must I do to be saved?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many more do we need? Oh God, may your Spirit bring us to that place where we all trust Christ. Shall we sing our last hymn? Our last.